Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new to our channel, please subscribe. You'll help us grow massively. We'll have a like target of 100. I just want to thank everybody who's been tuning into our channel recently. We've had one of our best months that we've ever had. So, you know, with Villa not being in action, it's been fantastic, really. But I am buzzing to bring to you Pete, the Canadian Villa of the Holy Trinity Show. For me, he's got the best voice in Aston Villa content creators. He's an absolute magician in what he does. And I'm so happy that he's on our channel today. So how are you, Pete?
I am absolutely delighted, honored, and quite humbled to be on your show, Luke. So it's great to chat with you lads. And I can't wait to get started.
Okay, buzzing. So, you know, we'll just run over some of the Aston Villa news in general. We lost our first pre-season friendly to Stoke. I don't really read too much into the results of friendlies. It's more about giving us a run out, getting our match sharpness. I was a little bit disappointed with Wesley's reaction. That was the main point for me that I was a little bit annoyed about. Justin, did you see any of it?
I didn't, unfortunately. I've been away. I logged out of Twitter for the day, logged into the meltdown of a defeat in a friendly away at Stoke and a sending off. So, yeah, it's frustrating. No one wants to lose games today. And we took 3,000 fans to a friendly away, which is just phenomenal, isn't it? You know, our fan base is amazing. But I'm with you. It's a friendly, you know, he's mixed up a few first teamers and a few kids in both the games. We was all at the Walsall game the other day. You know, Walsall Elite 2 side, whereas Stoke, you know, a couple of divisions up. I'm not too fussed, to be honest. You know, they've only briefly been back in pre-season for a couple of weeks. We're still missing, you know, the cream, aren't we, with Martinez and Jack and you know, Louise is away as well. So I'm not fussed, you know, really not fussed. I think the meltdown is over the top as usual. So we'll just see. I'd rather, you know, win our first two league games and then I'll be fine then.
Yeah. So big news today coming out of Villa is John Terry's departure. You know, it's really sad to see him go. He's done really good things with Villa when he came in as a player. He's developed as a coach under Smith as well. And I think it feels a little bit sad, really. Pete, what are your thoughts on Terry's departure?
Well, it's funny because a very good friend of mine took the UEFA Pro license with John, and the thing that he was impressed by was just what a class gent he is, because with a career like John Terry's, it would be easy to say, don't talk to me, Canadian dude without a career, and he didn't. He was extremely collaborative and engaged in the process, which was really hard because it was done almost entirely virtually. And it's an important ticket to get if you want to be a manager anywhere in Europe. So once he got that, I think the feeling was that he is now able to take on a managerial job anywhere. And in fact, like, what a classy move to say, I don't want to be a distraction when all these jobs are opening up, and, you know, they may open up now or they may open up in the course of the season. And I don't want to be in some kind of a long saga. So I'm going to step away now with a year left on my contract, spend some time with my family, and then I'll be able to take a job as it comes. And I think that's actually a really great move on his part. And I know he's certainly going to miss it. And I think that the guys who are going to miss him the most are obviously Ezri Konsa, who would have fully tapped into all the little bits and pieces that John would have given him. I think Tyrone Mings has grown as a leader in part because of John Terry, and then of course Courtney House as well. So those three guys specifically will miss John Terry, but I'm happy for him. He's done a lot of hard work. Obviously he'll be in demand, and you know he's going to get a good appointment somewhere that hopefully is just right for him, and he will take a lot of what he learned at Aston Villa and employ it at the new place.
Definitely. I think you make some great points that, you know, he could have stayed and then been linked with every job going this season. But the fact that he's sort of left and he can focus on himself, really, and it enables Villa to do the same as well. I think we all know that Craig Shakespeare's appointment last summer was instrumental as well to sort of allowing Terry to go on and reach the levels that he wants to reach. So we've got Ryan in his Jack Grealish vibes shirt today. News that a pending contract deal of 200 grand a week, 250 a week, is what we're going to be offering Grealish. Ryan, your initial thoughts now Grealish is looking back to coming to Bodymore Heath this week? Do you think he's staying?
I do, yeah. To be honest, all summer, I've just been like an ostrich when it comes to Jack Grealish. I've just been burying my head in the sand. Don't want to hear about it. I was probably less confident than I was this time last year when we started up. I was 100% he was staying. Little bit nervous this year heading into the Euros, but I thought once the bid didn't come in before the Euros and we've got the Euros out the way and we still haven't received the bid and there's talk of a new contract on the table, I'm at ease. I believe he'll give us one more season and see where we go from there, but he's got a cracking chance now to carry us into Europe. And you know, we're a very good side and, you know, the League Cup and the FA Cup competitions we should be looking at as well. And for Jack to lead us and possibly take us to Wembley, lift the trophy, get us into the top six, that's massive for him. And what happened at Milwaukee Bucks as well, it's a great example of what can happen if you hang around and build something. The achievement is greater, isn't it? So, I'm positive. I'm staying. Well, we're all positive on this channel, aren't we? So, we stick to that.
I think the image today, obviously, it's been a year since we stayed up the first time round, and he's got that on his Instagram today. Surely that's no coincidence. He would have had to think about posting that. So, Pete, what are your Grealish vibes?
I never for a minute thought he was leaving. And I know that his agent, Jonathan Barnett, was looking at the Euros as the golden ticket for his client. And I think he probably would have expected Grealish to play way more, as we all would have thought he would have. So when that didn't happen, that leverage was lost a little bit. And lo and behold, these City rumors started sort of in and amongst Euros, maybe a little bit earlier. To be honest with you guys, I am astonished with how the clickbait media works in your country, because, you know, where I'm from, and just to give you
an example,
it's absolutely incredible to me that some of the stuff can get published and actually, then you go in and you look at it, you go and you click it and you look at it and you go, well, there's absolutely nothing new here. And you've actually contradicted what you've said in the headline. It's just all headline stuff. In Canada, and I'll use hockey as an example, journalists have every single general manager's phone number in their phone. And if there's a rumor, they just call them. They say, what's with this? And they'll either say, well, I can't comment on it right now. Or, you know, we're working on something. And that's what ends up getting published. It's weird that nobody's reached out to Christian Perslow and asked for some kind of a quote. And then somebody on Twitter yesterday said, well, why isn't Jack Grealish coming out and putting all this to bed and saying something? Well, because he's playing the game. Like, he is setting himself, his kids and his grandkids up for their futures right now. And by going out and saying to his mates, I'm staying, he loses the leverage. And that's the advice his agent will give him. So he's about to double his salary, which is fully deserved, by the way. I don't care what anybody says. You'd never be able to buy Jack for 56 million pounds and pay him nothing. So it's worth every penny when you also consider the commercial ramifications and just having his face. He's one of the hottest faces in the world in football attached with Aston Villa. So I never for a minute believed he was leaving, but I will feel so much better when it's made confirmed so that we can all stuff all those in the nose that have been pumping this garbage out for the last month.
I mean, there was one yesterday, the worst one I've seen so far was that some Man City fan on Reddit had put that he knew that he was signing this week, and apparently this guy is spot on with everything. And even the meltdown that then sends, because apparently this person's got stuff right in the past, it's just shocking. It's so bad as a fan anyway, but when it's your player and a player for your club, it just sends you in complete meltdown. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to some of the questions that the listeners and the viewers of this podcast have sent in, some of their thoughts. So we'll sort of answer their questions. So we'll go with L. Locke has put, will the lack of transfer activity be bothering Smith as much as it is some fans? I'll go with this one. I feel like the market's going to sort of start to ramp up a little bit as we edge towards August. I feel like this month is where we're going to start to see a lot of the deals done. You know, it's normally like a snowball effect. When one player goes, then they all start to fall into place as well. So I don't think Smith would be too worried yet. I think there's still a long way to go in the window. But we do need signings at the same time. Justin, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think this is now critical. I think it's just first couple of days of September, I think the transfer window shuts. So I think we've got just over 5 or 6 weeks. So I think most clubs, or the bigger clubs, the top clubs, will want to have their deals done before the league kicks off, the season kicks off, which is 3 weeks' time, I believe. So, yeah, I would imagine the next 10 days, this is where people will start making their moves. And like you say, you know, the big moves will happen and then the smaller moves will trickle down and the bigger clubs will start loaning out players that they, you know, if they're getting the replacements. And I do see us still doing two or three bits of business, because the more you look at the squad, the more you can see one or two areas that I wouldn't say are desperate to be sort of signed, but there's definitely places in that squad now that you know, I wouldn't really want to go into the season without some you know, more players to back up what we currently have. Obviously, centre half's one. Still, you know, we're still sniffing around another winger type, number 10. Up front worries me a little bit still. So I think there is deals to be done. And I think the owners and you know, Purslow and my mate Lang, you know, they will get it done. I've no doubt they'll get it done.
So this one's from Bennett Wood, the evident striker centre forward situation. We'll give that one to you, Pete. Are you a little bit concerned about the forward area?
I was concerned with what I saw from Wesley at Stoke, because I'm one of those guys who says, you know, and I don't think Aston Villa is the kind of club now that's just going to discard human beings. I think they're going to give players every chance to succeed, because you want everybody who leaves your club to leave as a better person and player and to say good things about you, because then that helps attract more good players. But the one thing that Dean Smith demands of himself and his players is emotional intelligence. And what Wesley showed was not emotionally intelligent. And the only player that showed petulance last year for Villa was Ross Barkley. He's out the door. And so for a guy who's trying to come back and reestablish himself, and I know it was a bad injury, I'm a bit worried about how he conducted himself. And for me, the Julian Alvarez links are more about strength at striker than the two wide positions, because he could play all three. But he played at River half an hour yesterday in a very thumping win, frankly. But he played as a second striker. So he could play either of those or nine by himself. And I think that's why we've been linked to him more so than he can also fill on on the wing. So if they're talking about loaning out Keenan Davis, then I definitely think that there's probably an area they can add there. And ironically, Leon Bailey's played striker in his career as well.
Yeah. I think the thing for Wesley for me is that I feel like we all think, because he's now in pre-season training with Villa, that he's back. I think he's still a long, long way from being a major part of this squad mentally and physically. I think he's scarred from the injury. I think, you know, there was talk of it, there was a bit of a rash tackle on him, and he sort of reacted a little bit. And I just think it's still in his mind. And I think there's still a lot of work to be done there. My friend, his dad's been working at Bodymore Heath, and he was talking to one of the physios there, and he was saying that there was basically thoughts that there was going to be a chat with Wesley that he would not be playing football again. That's how close to not being back he was. So I think with that in mind as well, I think Wesley is going to take a bit of time. So
me and you were saying in the car, weren't we, on the way back from Warsaw, he still doesn't look like he could fully run. There seems to be like a bit of a limp there. And I'm guessing mentally in his head, he's had 18 months of pure frustration, seeing the Villa do so well, wanting to be part of it, probably isolated for most of it as well. He's getting himself back fit and someone has a little bite at him and he's lost it. And it is pre-season, and it's good that this has happened in pre-season, because if he is to play a role, then he'll get targeted, won't he, for stuff like that. So it's good that he's learned his lesson in pre-season, and it's something that can be coached out of him to say, come on, you need to keep your cool. You need to be trusted to be part of this team. And that is what pre-season is all about.
Would you think there's a case, maybe, given all this we're saying about Wesley, that it could be prudent to loan Wesley out for a season?
More so than Davis.
Yeah. Especially if, like Pete says, Alvarez can play as the nine, then if you bring him in as your backup, you know, Traore can also play there as well. And then you're saying to Davis, it was not, you know, the pressure on him come off the bench as the second striker in the Premier League is phenomenal. And given what he's been through, I think it could be worth even maybe trying to get him a loan back to where he came from. Is it Bruges, was it?
Bruges,
Belgium. That kind of league where he knows it, he's played there, he's done well in the past. And then, you know, he's still a young lad, and then bring him back, and, you know, if he's done well, then hopefully that confidence given from that loan spell, you know, he still could have a future at the Villa.
And, you know, it's funny, Ryan, you said you saw the limp. I saw that at Stoke too. I mean, I'm watching him. They were ISOing him specifically. And, you know, I realized one of his legs is actually longer than the other. So he looks like he has a limp to be. I mean, he gallops like a horse. He has one of the most unusual gaits I've ever seen of a footballer.
We were saying it's like a steam train, you know, when it just starts up and gets going and clogs up and then it goes. That's the vibe I was getting off on Urches, you know.
Yeah, even with Justin's port, I feel like he's going to need Villa more than any player's ever needed. The whole vibe of Villa, do you know what I mean? He's really going to need looking after here.
It's such a shame he got that injury. Yeah. Isn't it? A young lad like that, his career all ahead of him, and that happened.
Definitely. So Richard Edwards has put, looking at the midfield, they're all too short for me. Would like someone in there bigger than what we have, apart from that Langer's got it sorted defender-wise, second striker, Twanzabi, Bailey rumours, and Alvarez. What's your vibe then, Ryan? Do you feel like we do need another central midfielder?
We've been saying it from the last few episodes of last season on the podcast, haven't we? Yeah, we want a nasty midfielder. We're definitely going to need another defender, I think. But then again, Bogard impressed, but still might be a bit too young. So Twanzabi, for me, seems a good option. We know what he's all about. He knows the club. Like some defenders at this football club just get it. Malberg got it. Larson got it. John Terry got it. They just know what it's like to play for Aston Villa. And Twanzabi had it as well. You know, them celebrations he used to do in front of the whole end singing Villa Villa. And for me, I think he's got the attributes as well to play like a defensive midfielder as well, if needed, just to add that little bit more bite in midfield. I really do believe that. So I think he could be a good signing. But yes, we definitely need a defender, a defensive midfielder, and a striker as well.
He's been linked with Newcastle today, hasn't he? Twanzabi. I don't want him going there. He'll be playing up front for Bruce. He'll be playing up front for Steve Bruce, won't he?
Bruce is after him. So we've got a few points on the midfield as well. Jay Hippo put, cannot for the life of me understand why we aren't in for an out-and-out big defensive midfielder. It's what we desperately need. We've got good midfielders, but none of them are good enough to play as a double pivot together. It's doing his head in. And then Magic Mercer's put, this is spot on, been going on about us needing a DM for ages now. Really hope we get this position sorted this summer, and not try to go with Luiz or Nakamba playing in that role as well. I mean, it is a little bit of a worry for me that Douglas Luiz is at the Olympics and we are left with Nakamba. Now, I'm not saying Nakamba's not good enough. I'm just saying that we're light there anyway, aren't we now? So, you know, who knows when Luiz is going to get back. He's probably going to need a bit of a break. You know, when are we going to see the best of him again? You'd be looking at like October, November time. So that is definitely an area that I do feel like we need to...
The thing is with Luiz as well, Luke, because it's the anniversary of when we started up today. So then the next season kicked off pretty sharpish, didn't it? Then he's played the Copa America. Then he's played the Olympics. He hasn't stopped really, has he? He has not stopped.
No, so he's going to be tired. So Alex has put, think we need to try and get Alvarez and Bailey in these rooms, if these rumours are true. It was at Stoke game on Saturday. Personally, I don't think we look that bad. Sleepy first 3 minutes, they score, and then the score at the start of the second half. And he wants to put a note in to thank Connor for his service. So, Pete, I've got a question for you then. Do you think Villa will get Leon Bailey?
I hope they do, based on what I've pieced together from this guy. This guy is an unbelievable story. Like, you know, if you go through his life, like hardship all the way through, a very tough area of Kingston, Jamaica that he grew up in. And I think, you know, Aston Villa's recruitment goes as far as those personality traits of, you know, the hunger and being able to overcome adversity and all those kind of things. But he also offers something that we don't have, which is blinding pace. Mm-hmm. And not just pace in terms of how quickly he can move, but also speed of thought. You watch his reels and it's like he always seems to make one little movement that loses a defender, an opponent, which is elite level speed. And I just think that if you have somebody like that, you always have to respect it as the opposition, which then allows for, you know, opportunity elsewhere. So I would love Leon Bailey, and I would also love Julian Alvarez, because the people at River Plate who talk about him say that he is the closest thing that they've seen in their country to Sergio Aguero. He's ahead of the age, you know, where you start to see the prolific scoring. So I would, and his goal scoring record at River, by the way, even at that age, is very good despite like minimal contributions. So those two for sure. Just getting back to the DM for a moment, at Stoke, there was a great screenshot of Marvelous Lekamba about 10 yards behind the ball that led to the 2-0.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that is the area that we're struggling in. And I'm going to throw it out on a limb there, but in light of all the clickbait rubbish we've had to go through over the last couple of months, when The Guardian says that Aston Villa is in on James Ward-Prowse, I listen and I go, okay, well, it's been very quiet over there, but people have to understand that clubs in that tier are struggling financially. And they may have no option but to make some kind of a sale, not just to bring in players, but to balance the books. Like Brighton, I heard, was 65 million in the red from last year alone, just on the books. So you think about that for a minute, it's like, well, no wonder they're selling Ben White for 50 million. Yeah. They don't want to. But James Ward-Prowse solves two big problems. It's not just about having a number six that can destroy. It's then a six who can identify the vulnerability and spring the attack. And if you're going to bring in all these attacking weapons, that person must be able to do that. Ward-Prowse can, because he could play as a six or an eight. He's even played it right back. And he offers expected goals from free kicks and set piece delivery. He would tick three major boxes all at once. And he's a leader. So I'm watching that one carefully, because that is a kind of end of the window blockbuster that I could see happening and hope happens, because that would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. That's the thing as well, isn't it? It's a Whiting guy now, isn't it? Because Southampton, for Villa, you drag it out, won't you, until the death, because you're going to get better deal. So that's why I'm a bit calm. And there'd be a lot of clubs in Southampton's situation where they'd be wanting the money, not quite wanting to sell. And I think it would just be an explosive last couple of weeks to this market.
Yeah, I think it's going to erupt, isn't it? So yeah. World Football Chat has put safe standing drinking to be allowed in stands should take legal action against all media sites that have posted about Jack leaving for the last three seasons. It's a little bit like what Pete said. take them all down that legal road. This one's for you then, Justin. I'm a little bit mixed on this one. William AVFC, with football becoming a much more inclusive and family-orientated game, is it time to ban swearing on the terraces? Songs like My Old Man Said and lately the Ezri Konsa song are not very appropriate for children. I am a little bit mixed. If I'm being honest, I don't like the Ezri Konsa song. I just think it's just degrading. It's not a football chant. It's
There's no point to it, is there?
No, there's not. So on that point, definitely. But I think for My Old Man Said song, I can live with that one. What are your? Because you go to the football with your family, Justin. So you're probably best to answer that one.
This will be another huge debate, wouldn't it, if this suddenly became a point where you couldn't sing songs with swear words in. I don't know. It's really tough. I mean, I sit in the family stand, Trinity Road, middle tier, with my two daughters and my wife. We have done for a few years now since, you know, I think my daughter was five, I think, when I first took her. And my wife wasn't overly keen on me taking them to start with, for that reason, simply that she had all the swearing that they're going to hear, not only in the songs, but generally in the ground. It is and has been for a long time, when we were younger, a male-dominated place to go and to let off steam. It's not that anymore. Football has changed. You know, my wife and my two daughters love going down the Villa, and I love that they love going down the Villa because we go as a family now. So I think it is probably time to ease out some of the songs, especially like the concert ones. I think you're never going to get rid of the older ones, the ones that just the fans will sing, whatever, you know, because they are there is a bigger part of the history of our club as the colour of the kit, as the players that have worn the shirt, and you're not going to get away from that. So, but I just think from now on, it's you've got to be very careful with the newer songs for the newer players, that you've got to be how you sort of word them and how they come across. Generally speaking, everybody around Bondi, when those songs are sung, they drop the words out, so the kids don't really hear them. I mean, you can still hear them, can't you? Because you can hear the old team blasting them out. I think most right-minded Villa fans are very respectful of kids and down the ground. But it would be a very emotive subject, wouldn't it? Should it ever hit a point where it was a band, or maybe even government stepped in and said you couldn't do it or not? I don't think it would ever get that far, to be honest. But as it stands, I think we've just got to be a bit careful, haven't we? I agree with the concert one. I think that needs to be stopped. But the rest, the older ones, I think, you're not going to stop it. And as long as people are respectful of the kids that are around them, then I think, you should be okay.
Yeah.
And how would you police that, by the way? How would you enforce that if you said
you can't? In North America, is the problem.
Yeah. In North America, there's an announcement that comes out at the beginning, no foul language, no swearing. And I'm like, okay, it's a nice thing to say, but how do you enforce? And what happens if an entire section of fans still goes ahead and sings it? Like, that's the challenge,
I think the challenge in this country is getting rid of the racism rather than the swearing at the moment. I think if we could get rid of that aspect, then, a bit of swearing, you could probably accept that as long as it's, not over the top. We can't get rid of the racism aspect at the moment. So getting rid of swearing, you've got no chance.
Yeah. So, right, we'll round it off here then. But before we go, Pete, just tell us a little bit about your channel then, what it's all about for the people that have not maybe watched you that watch us, and hopefully a lot of our guys can check you out.
Well, and I appreciate you giving me that chance, Luke, because honestly, I talked about doing this in February, and just because I love the Villa so much, and I have a set, built in.
Yeah.
And so it made a lot of sense. and a friend of mine, Rob Young, who's my producer, said, do you have any ideas for content? And I said, well, actually, I do. And so we started talking about it, and away we went. And I thought, well, maybe I'll get 18 to 20 people watching these videos once in a while. And perhaps if I'm lucky, I'll get 100 subscribers sometime by the season start. I honestly cannot believe what's happened. And my background is football. The only thing I know better than football is probably the media and communications. I'm a broadcaster by trade, but the two things together have been the biggest part of my life. And I just feel like, I wanted to apply it to something. And my wife kept saying, you got to do this. You got to do this. This is what you got to do. So away I went, and I just like to look at things from a very analytical standpoint and, less emotional and more sort of fact-based type material. But when it comes time to the season, I'm going to break down games the Holy Trinity way. Three things that changed the course of the game, because every game has moments, and that's the great thing about them. And sometimes it's something that didn't happen that leads to how the game is won and lost. So that's how I'm going to look at it. And I can't thank you enough for having me on the show. It's been a total delight.
Well, quickly, my mate Mike said, I've got to say hello, because he's your number one fan, Pete, honestly. He loves your podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
He loves ours as well, but he loves yours.
But I think the thing is, what I love about it as well is that it's totally unique. It's not the same as anything that's done before. And I think to go out and do something like that, you have to take your hats off, because, it's time, isn't it? And it's effort, and it's not your job, and so take my hat off, you're smashing it. So
super good one.
Thanks everybody for watching this episode. Get in the comments on any of the points that we've discussed as well, and then check out Pete's channel as well, and I'll put his channel in the description as well. So thanks for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa, fellas.